Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top line of Kuf Lamed Vov, we will notice in the middle of the line a triangle. In fact, we find ourselves in the middle of a discussion that we started on the previous daf in our previous shiur. At that point, we introduced a series of mitzvos concerning which Rabbi Eloi, according to Rava's opinion, will not find exemption from them in the case of a shutfus, a joint ownership, even though in the case of Reishis Hagez, the shearings, the topic of our perek, there Rav Eloi said that a shutfus is potter from Reishis Hagez. So to go over this point, Rava presents a long series of mitzvos, many of which we did it during our last shiur, that even though there is shutfus, there will nevertheless not be an exemption, which will in effect be different than the way Rav Eloi treated Reishis Hagez, where if the animal is owned by shutfim, by partners, then there will be an exemption. We can point out now, in anticipation of the sugya later on this omid, we will see Rav Bevai bar Abaye and Rav Chanina Misura, their names appear in houses. These disagree with Rava, and they will tell us that not only is Reishis Hagez that something Rabbi Eloi will exempt a partnership from, but there are other mitzvos as well, that when there is a partnership in the animal, there will not be an obligation. And all of these positions are based on how the respective opinions learn the psukim in the Torah that are relevant to these mitzvos. That having been said, we continue now on the top line, Meiser, regarding the tithe of 1/10 of a person's produce. This tithe takes place every year. Afagav dechsiv maser degoncha, even though the posuk implies diloch in deshutvislo, it says it in the possessive, your grain, sounding like yours in the singular and not if it's jointly owned. Nevertheless, kosav rachmona masro sechem. The Torah uses the plural expression masro sechem, which would say your grains in the plural, as we said, meaning even if it is a partnership, there still is an obligation. So there is no meiser exemption because of shutfus. Well, if that's the case, la meiser doncha degoncha lamai also. So of what benefit is the Pasuk that said degoncha, yours, sounding as if it were excluding something? The answer, l'mute shutfus davikachavim, there is an exclusion of a partnership if it's a Jew and a Gentile that own the field together, then there will be an exemption. However, a fellow Jew is still considered within the realm of degoncha, and hence, even if it is jointly owned, in that case, two Jews own the field, there is a meiser obligation. Matonos is a reference to the Zroah, L'chaim, and Kevah, the three different limbs and organs that are given from chulin slaughtering, from mundane slaughtering, to a kohen. So the Gemara points out, Afagav the kosav rachmona v'nosan iko lemeimar yolif nesino nesino mereshis akez, even though the Torah uses the word v'nosan by the matonis, and having used the word v'nosan, I would have thought to learn through word comparison, through a type of gzera shava, from the din of shearings, the law regarding shearings, which would have told us, ma'ala halon d'shutfus lo, just like by the shearings, if it's a jointly owned animal, there is no halacha of rachis, I guess, there's no obligation. Afkan, so too, regarding the matonas, d'shutfus loi. So, I would have thought, d'shutfus is exempt from matonas. Therefore, kosav rachmona me'es zovche hazevach. This expression is in the plural, that you shall collect the matanas from the Zovche HaZevach, which is once again, is mashma that the shutofim, partners, are chayev, are obligated. Elo, taimo, the kos rachmono mei Zovche HaZevach. Ho, lav, hochi, havamino, leilif, mereshes, agez. If not for the fact that you have Zovche HaZevach, are you saying then that I would have learned from Rashi's Hagez to exempt a partnership? Well, Adarabba, if I didn't have Meizov Chiazevach, I still wouldn't necessarily have learned from Rashi's Hagez to exempt partnerships. I would have, Adarabba Nelef Mitruma. We would have been able to learn a word comparison using the word Nosan to Truma. And in the case of Truma, there is no exemption. So through the Nesino, Gezer Shava, I would have learned Matonas from Truma, not from Rashi's Hagez. The result being that a partnership is bound. The Mor says, In Hochinami, you know, you're right. Well, if that's the case, so what do I need this pasuk, which implies partnership is bound? I would have known the obligation of partnership with regard to matanas through a gzera shava from truma. So what do I need me'ezov chayazevach for? Answer: lechinu rava. I need that for rava's halacha. D'omar rava hadin im hatabach. That means that if the Kohen has a claim on Matonas, he turns to the one who slaughtered the meat. And that's based on this Pasuk that says the Zovche HaZevach, the ones that slaughter it. Bikurim. Bikurim is the mitzvah of bringing the one's first fruits of a particular season to the Beis HaMikdash, and they're given to a Kohen. So it says regarding Bikurim, Afagav Dechsiv Arzucha, which is a word in the singular, which would have indicated Didcha in Dishutvislo, only if it's your piece of land owned exclusively by you in the singular, then there's an obligation of Bikurim, but if it's a jointly owned piece of property, there would be no Bikurim. Therefore, Kosav Rachmono Bikure Kol Asher Barzuchem, which implies all Bikurim, even if it's from fields that are jointly owned. Well, Ela Artzucha Lamali, so then what is the role of the word Artzucha, which was in the singular? What's excluded? Answer, Limute Chutzal Aretz. It's to exclude land in the area outside of Eretz Yisrael from the mitzvah of Bikurim. In other words, no Bikurim is brought from Chutzal Aretz. However, as far as partnership, land owned by partnership, there is Bikurim brought. Tzitzis. Afagav the Kosav Rachmana Ksusacha. Even though the Torah in teaching the mitzvah of tzitzis mentions the word Ksusacha, Al Arba Kanfes Ksusacha, on the corners of your garment, and says it in the singular, Didach in the Shufis Lo. It would say if it's a jointly owned garment, so there would be no mitzvah of tzitzis. Therefore, kosav rachmona al kanfei bigdehem derasam, which overrules, which tells me that shutfis owned garments are chayev in tzitzis. Well, ve'alaksuscha lomali, so what's the role of this word? Answer the Chavida, it teaches me Rabbi Yehuda's principle. Tom Rabbi Yehuda, tala shulav turo minat tzitzis kol shloshim yom. A garment that's borrowed, let's say someone borrowed a four-cornered garment and plans to use it for less than 30 days, so it's not considered your garment, it's a borrowed garment, and hence it's exempt from tzitzis. So this we learn from Ksuscha. Maike, is the mitzvah of putting a fence around a flat roof building, afagav de kosav rachmona legagecha, which would imply didcha in the shufis lo, your personal owned roof is bound for to have a mica, a fence around it. However, a jointly owned roof would not, because the word legagecha appears in the singular. Therefore, kosav rachmona ki yipol hanofel mimenu. The Torah builds in a reason for the mica, meaning that if it doesn't have a mica, someone could fall off of it, which indicates any kind of roof that is fit for someone to fall off of, which means any kind, including roofs that are jointly owned. The nature of the ownership doesn't affect this particular halacha, because, as we said, the Torah builds in the reason for the mica. Ela gagecha. The pasuk used the word ligagecha. So gagecha lemai also. So what is the nature, the personal nature, the singular nature of this word? Answer: the mute bote knesius ubote midrashos. It's to exclude the roofs of shuls and study halls where Torah is studied from this mitzvah. Rashi says, "Bote knesios she'en chilek leechod mehem po." It's no one has a real ownership in a shul. She'af levnei Abraham, who it's something that's relevant even for people that are abroad. When they come, they have a shul to go to. They have a place to daven. V'yod she'eno beis diron. It's not a place of living. Therefore, the shul and the beis medrash are excluded from this particular mitzvah of Micah. We notice a new marking, a house form. This is explained in the outside margin under the Nosei Mivne heading. Shnei deois, two opinions, hachokim al Rava, they disagree with Rava, v'to'anim, and they claim the Rebbe Eloi eino moide l'chayev shutvis b'vachor uv'matonus u'betruma. Between these two deos, we will see this idea reflected that a shutvis, a partnership, is not going to be obligated, according to Reb Eloi, in these things. But rather, just like Reb Eloi exempts a partnership from Reishis HaGez, kach poter be'elu, so too, Reb Eloi would offer an exemption from these mitzvahs as well, if there is a partnership in the ownership. Now, the Gemara. Omar of Beivai, lesnu lahani kloli. We do not accept the rules stated by Rava, namely that Reb Eloi would be moide to mechayev shutvis in bechora. Desanya behemas hashutvin chayevs bevechora. Reb Eloi potra. Here you can see very clearly that Reb Eloi in this Tanaic source says that an animal jointly owned, when it finally bears its firstborn offspring, it will not be chayev to be brought as a bechor sacrifice. My time, Adur Reb Eloi, what is the reason for this? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, bekorcha v'tzamcha, which are words in the singular, mashma, only when you in the singular own it, and not a partnership. The hawk siv bekarchem v'tzonchem, but does the pasuk not say in the plural that if it's your bokar, your cows, your tzon, your sheep, goats, which would imply that a partnership is bound? The Gemara answer is no. This plural expression is a reference to Kulhu Yisrael, meaning cows and sheep of the Jewish people. But when it comes to the Torah in this case is addressing all of the Jewish people to inform them of this mitzvah. However, when it comes to the actual obligation of the mitzvah, it has to be privately owned, singularly owned. Omar Rav Chanina Misura, Rav Chanina, following Rav Bevai says, Lesnu Lahani Klali. Likewise, he also says that we do not hold from Rava's rules. According to Rava's rules, when it comes to, let's say, matonos, namely Zerach HaKeva, a partnership in an animal would not be the basis of exemption. And yet, here we have a Tanaic source, Desanya, Behemas HaShutfen Chayves B'matonos, Ribaloi Poter. Here, you see Ribaloi does offer exemption from matonos when it comes to a Behemas HaShutfen. And this is in contrast with what we saw in the triangle. You could see four lines from the top where Rava was giving his take on matonos, pointing out that Rebbe Loi would say that a shutfis, a jointly owned behema, is chayav in matonos. Here, once again, you see that Rebbe Loi says it's exempt. My taima, what is the exemption based on? Yolif, nesina, mereshus hagez, through a word comparison of the word nosan from Reishis Hagez, Ma'ala Hala Deshutfis Loi. Just like in the case of Reishis Hagez, we know Rebbe Loi holds a jointly owned animal is not bound in Reishis Hagez. Afkan, so too with regard to Matonis, Deshutfis Loi, if it's jointly owned, there will be no Zorah Chayav Keva obligation. V'i Salka Daitoch B'Truma Mechayev, if you were to think like Rava said, that a jointly owned field would be chayav in the truma tithe, well then, neilif nesina nesina mitruma, then you would have been able to learn a word comparison from truma, and the result of that would have been that the, in other words, a comparison between truma and matonis, and the result would have been that it's bound, that it, the jointly owned animal would be bound in matonis. Ela shmamino betruma nami poter. Rather, the fact that Rebbe Loi says that a jointly owned animal is poter from matonis, through the word the nesina comparison, it must be that by truma also, where that word appears, there will also be an exemption from the truma tithe if it's a jointly owned field, which is not like Rava. So at this point in the Gemara, we have a little note on the inside margin, and we've written Ukimo Shishutfis Poter Betruma, just like a jointly owned field, according to Rebbe Loi, would be Poter from the need for Truma tithe. Kach bereshis hagez uvematonis, so too with these other topics, reshis hagez and matonis, there will also be an exemption if you're dealing with a jointly owned animal. In the course of the Gemara, we will be using this diagonal dashed underline to emphasize these different expressions, truma, reshis hagez, and matonis. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a diamond that appears. This is explained in the outside margin, ima truma. This is the expression that we've decided to enclose in the diamond. Sidra shel she'elos, we have written. This is a series of questions. Lefi deos hanal, according to the opinions that we saw just now, namely Rav in the houses. That's Rav Chanina Misura and Rav Bevai Bar Abaye, Befrat Rav Chanina Misura, the Rav Eloi Poter Shutfis, that according to these opinions we've seen that Rav Eloi will exempt a partnership Lo Rak Mireshus Hagez, not only from Mireshus Hagez, Elo Gam Mimatonos, also from Matonos, Ki Gam Yesh Ptur Shutfis Mitruma. based on the assumption or the acceptance that a jointly owned field will be exempt from truma as well. Ha'im yesh lahashvois matonas v'reishus hagez l'dinim noisafim sheshayachim b'truma. Once we're saying that with regard to the issue of partnership, we compare reishus hagez and matonas to truma, what about regarding other aspects of halochas that are relevant to truma? Will we compare reishus hagez and matonas to those areas? And that gives rise to a long series of questions. The Gemara continues. Ima truma ba'aretz in b'chutzaretz lo. If just like truma is something that is binding only in the land of Israel, but not outside the land of Israel. So, af matonas, are you going to say that regarding the matonas as well? Ba'aretz in b'chutzaretz lo. We have a technical note here that as far as this series of questions of Ima Truma, only at this point will we be asking about Matonis. As the series continues, the rest of the questions focus on the ratios, I guess, the issue of the shearings. Are we going to compare the halach of ratios, I guess, to Truma? But in the meantime, we're focusing on Matonis. So, are matonas also restricted to Eretz Yisrael? Amar Rav Yossi min Harbil in Vatanya. Rav Yossi says, yes, they are restricted, according to Rav Eloi, to Eretz Yisrael. Vatanya, and we bring the following Tanaic source to support this. Rav Eloi Omer, matonas ein noagin ela b'oretz. Here you see it, black on white. Matonas are binding only in the land of Israel. V'chein hoy Rav Eloi Omer, reishus hagez. And likewise, the halacha of the shearings applies only to the land of Israel. My time at Rabbeloi, what is the basis of this? Amar Rava, Yolif Nasino Nasino Mitruma. He has a word comparison from Truma. Ma Truma Barazin Bahuslaritz. Just like Truma is binding only in the land of Israel. Af Rashis Akez Barazin Bahuslaritz Lo. So too, the issue of the shearings is binding only in the land of Israel. Omar le'abai ima truma tovelas afreshes against tovelas. If we know by truma that it until it's removed, kol's man, as long as the latent truma is mixed in your fruits, it's considered tevel, which means it's usher to consume it, and if one does, it would carry with it a severe penalty. So just like Trumas Tovelas, Af Reishis Hagez Tovelas, would you say that the wool is also to benefit from until the Reishis Hagez portion is removed to and given to the Kohen? Amalei, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Reishis Gez Tzoncha Titen Lo. From this Pasuk we learn, Ein Lucha Bo Elo Me Reishiso V'Elech. Which means that before the giving of it, the Giza is not called Tevel, it's not called something else. So it's unlike the case of Truma. Truma, before it's tithed, it creates the Shame Tevel, or the Shame Tevel is present on the produce. As opposed to the shearings, the term shearings and the mitzvah of reishis hagez applies only from the point that it's shorn and not prior to that. Hence, there's no tevel equivalency by shearings. Well, ima truma chayavin olav misa v'chomesh, af reishis hagez chayavin olav misa v'chomesh. If you're going to compare it to truma, well, just like truma generates, if a non-Kohen, let's say, eats the produce knowingly, he will be chayav misa b'yishamayim. And if not, so he has to offer a compensation of the principal plus a fifth. Are you going to say the same thing with regard to the reishis hagez, that one would be chayav, a non-Kohen would be chayav azar, that is, chayav misa and a chomesh, for benefiting from the shearings? Omar Kraw, no. Umesu bo v'yasaf alav. And we learn from these words that appear in the context of Truma, alav v'lo areshes agez, bo v'lo areshes agez. So that the restrictions of Chmis and Chomesh apply only to Truma, not to the Reishis HaGez. The Gemara continues, Ima Truma Rishon V'Sheni Acharav Reishis HaGez. Rishon V'Sheni Acharav, are you going to say that just like after you tithe the Truma tithe, there is a Meiser Rishon and a Meiser Sheni, there are additional tithes that take place? Are you going to say the same thing by the shearings, that after the shearings that are given to the Kohen, there are additional shearings? Amakra, Reishis, Ein, L'cha, Bo, Elo, Reishis, Bilvat. From this extra word, Reishis, that appears in the context of the shearings, we learn that the din of shearings applies only from the point they're given. And Not only that, but there is only them and nothing else. No Rishon V'Shenah, no additional tithes from the shearings. Ima Truma Mechodosh Al Yoshin Lo, Af Rishis, I guess, Mechodosh Al Yoshin Lo. If we are to compare it to Truma, are you going to say, just like Truma, you don't tithe from this year's produce to exempt last year's produce? In other words, you don't take off a portion from the chodosh, from the new product, from the new produce, from this year's fresh produce to exempt last year's. So just like that's true with regard to truma, there's this chodosh al-yoshon restriction. Af reishis hagez mechodosh al-yoshon lo. Are you going to say the same thing with regard to reishis hagez, that you can't take off from the new shearings to cover old as yet untithed shearings? The Gemara says, "In, that's right. I do compare. I compare shearings to truma." The Tanya, in support to this, says, "Hoyu lo shte rechelos, gozas viniach, gozas viniach, shnayim ushloish shonim, ein mitstarfas." If a person had, let's say, had two sheep. Now, two sheep in and of themselves is not enough sheep to generate, to institute the obligation of Reishis HaGez. So what is described here? He had two. He shore them this year, and he did it. He cut their hair again the next year. And this happened over the course of two or three years. So we say that they're not mitztaref, because at any given year you didn't have the required number of sheep. However, ha chomesh mitztarfos. The implication would be if you had five sheep, so then they would join up. If we look in the Rashi on the second line under the Gemara, ha chomesh mitztarfos im hayu lo chomesh tzon, if he had five sheep. And he shore two of them this year and three the next year. Well, he's got now the shearings of five sheep. Mitstarfos, they will join up to create a chiyuv, the af algav, the chodesh v'yoshim, even though there is new shearings mixed with old shearings. So that's the implication from one source. V'ha Tanya, but we have another source that says Ein Mitztarfos, that even in that case of five, there would be no joining up. El Shema Mino, the resolution of the two sources is Ha D'Rebeloi. The source that says they're not Mitztarfos would be according to Beloi, because he learns from Truma. V'ha D'Rabbonon, and the source that says that they would be Mitztarif is according to the Rabbonim that disagree with Reb Eloi. But for our purposes, we see that Reb Eloi is consistent in maintaining a Truma Reishis HaGez comparison, unless otherwise informed. And this is what was claimed above under the heading of Rav Chanina Misura. The Gemara asks, Ima truma golo b'chiyuv chayav golo b'ptur potter. Av reishes I guess nami golo b'chiyuv chayav b'ptur potter. Just like by truma, we say that that which grows under circumstances of obligation. For example, they grow when the field is in the ownership under the ownership of a Jew. However, if the produce grew in a field owned by a Gentile, so there would be exemption. So are you going to say the same thing over here with regard to the growth of the wool on the animal's back? That golo b'chiyuv chayav b'ptur potter? If we skip the brackets momentarily, you can use the bracket length indicator, the vertical dash dotted line. You see the line, second line from the bottom here, the brackets end. V'chitema hochinami, the Gemara is in effect continuing the question. And mainly, if you say that in fact it is like that, that if it's golo b'tur, it will be exempt. But how can you say that? V'hotnan. But we have a Tanaic source. It's our Mishnah from Kuf Lamed Hey Omed Aleph. It says, Halokeh gez son ove kechavim potur meireshes hagez. If one bought the shearings of a Gentile-owned animal before the animal was shorn, he bought only the shearings, so he's exempt from reishis hagez. Ha sono ligzos. If, however, a person bought the animals owned by a Gentile for the purpose of shearing, chayav, they would be obligated. Because in this case, it's considered your animals, even though you bought it only with regard to the shearings. Nevertheless, it's considered your animals, and it would be chayav, even though the wool grew when it was the animals were in the ownership under the ownership of the Gentile. So, what do we see here? We see by the reishis hagez is not like truma. By truma, we say that if it grew in a state of ptur, under the ownership of a goy, for example, it would be exempt. And here we see by the wool, even though it developed under the ownership of a goy, it still is bound to the tithing of reishis, I guess. So in effect, we have our question is set up, but we have a bracketed section that we must go through. Within the brackets, the Gemara deals with the truma itself that was mentioned, that if it's godol b'ftur, it's exempt. V'gabi truma menolan. From where do we see this with regard to truma, that it depends where or under whose ownership it grew? Desanya, we have a Tanaic source. Yisrael shalakach sod b'suri mevi kachavim. A Jew who bought a field in Syria. Syria is an area that was conquered by David HaMelech, but didn't gain full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It's called Kibush Yochid. It was conquered non-conquering fashion. What we mean by that is that David HaMelech conquered Sur before he conquered Eretz Yisrael. So since he changed his priority, so to speak, or the order of events, it doesn't gain the full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So it says in this source, Ad Shelo Hevio Shlish Chayov. If a Yisrael Jew bought a field from a Gentile in Syria with crops growing it, but before they developed a third, so it's Chayov in Hafroshes. Mishavio Shlish. If he purchased the field with the grains that grew in the rishus of the goy, and they developed more than a third, Rabbi Kiva mechayev b'tosefes v'chachomim potrin. What we want to do is emphasize the chachomim. They say there is exemption. What do we see from here? We see that if it grew more than a third, which is the point of demarcation with regard to grains for their chiyuv of meiser, so they crossed their chiyuv of tithing when it was still in the reshus of the Gentile, and we see the Chachamim say it's exempt. So we see from here that if it grew biftur by truma, there is exemption. And yet, when we went on in the Gemara, we continued reading here, v'chitema Hochinami, if you want to tell us that by shearings also it would be exempt, but Vatnan, but we learned in our Mishnah not like that. Okay, yes, so in Oyukhavapodrishis, like yes. We read this already. If you bought the shearings of a goy, then you would be exempt. However, hot sono ligzos, if you bought his animals for the purpose of shearing, you bought animals with wool on it, and you bought it with the intent of shearing them, chayov, even though the hair, the wool, grew in the under the ownership of the Gentile, making shearings unlike truma. The Gemara answers, masnisin delo kerabeloi. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, is not like Rabbi Eloi. So Rabbi Eloi, though, will maintain a comparison to Truma. And this is of course in lines of everything that we were saying above when we introduced the house markings, where we were comparing with regard to the issue of Shutfis. Just like Rabbi Eloi said, Rashi's Agez is Potter, in a case of Shutfis, so too he would say that in the case of Truma, if it's owned by Shutfis, it's exempt from the Truma tithe. If you see a source that says that it gives us something that shows that the Rashi's Agez is not treated like Truma, so the conclusion is that, well, that Mishnah is just not like Rabbi Eloi. The Gemara continues. E ma truma mi min al she'eno mino loi. If we, just like by truma, we know that when you tithe, you must tithe from each variety of food item for itself and not use one variety to exempt another. That's called min al she'eno mino, using one type of fruit to exempt another. And we'll see when we say type of fruit, we'll see an illustration of that shortly. So if, just like by truma, mimin al sheno mino no af reishis agez, mimin al sheno mino lo, will we say the same thing by the shearings? The bracketed section here is for skipping. So let us use the bracket length indicator you see to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, skipping down to the next line after the brackets. The Gemara says, "In that is right, that by shearings also we will treat it like truma, the hotnan, as we see in the Mishnah." It happens to be our Mishnah, where it says, "Hoyu lo shnei minim shufos levanos." If a person had two types of wool, he had non-white shufos and levonos white wool. Mohar lo shufos avolo levonos. If a person sold the dark wool and kept for himself the light wool, zenoisin latzmo vezenoisin latzmo. That each purchaser has to separate from what he bought, and the seller has to separate from what he bought, indicating that each is treated as a totally separate entity, which would be in line of the halacha of truma. We might as well say that if they were not treated as, not viewed as separate minim, then the halacha would have said that the owner, the one who kept, he didn't sell out all of the wool, he would be obligated to tithe from whatever he has to cover that which he sold. But since they're viewed as separate types, separate minim, we see that if he sold one, so that's it. He cannot tithe from that which he retained to cover the other, because the other is a different variety. So at this point, we are claiming that the halacha of Reishis Agez is in fact just like Truma. But this gives rise to a question. Elo me'ato, seifa dekatani, the end of the Mishnah that was quoted, just happened to be our Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah that was quoted, it says, zechorim avolo nekevos. If one sold male sheep and kept for himself the female, ze noisein le'atzmo v'ze noisein le'atzmo. So each one gives the shearings, the shearings, for that which he has. Well, hachinami mishum detrei, meaning, are you going to say, just because there's a difference in gender, they're viewed as two different kinds? That's not true. It's absolutely not true. Elo eitzo toivo kamash malon. This source, the seifa, represents a piece of advice to the mocher. The leisiv lei mehai derochich umehai deoshun. In fact, the Gemara now is presenting an entirely new explanation of the Mishnah. Namely, a person who sold Zechorim and kept for himself Nekevus, by letter of the law, he would have to tithe from the Nekevos, which is considered Rochich, soft, as opposed to Oshin, the male shearings are a rougher type of wool. He would be obligated to do all of the tithing from the better quality wool that he kept. So the Mishnah is telling us an Eitzah Tova, a piece of good advice, that the seller ought to buy back from the buyer a little bit of the male shearings, so as to use that to cover the male shearings that he sold, the male ones that he sold, thereby alleviating him from the need to use the better quality Nekevos wool to cover the Zechorim as well. So Hachanami, so too in the Reisha regarding the Shchufas and the Levonos, they're not two different kinds of Minim, but rather Eitzah Tova Kamashmalon, the Leisiv Lehu Mitravaihu, that it would be better for the owner to give from both types instead of giving everything from the one type. And this, in the case of the Reisha, he had kept for himself the better quality white wool. So instead of having to use the better quality to cover the shchufos as well, he ought to buy back some of the shchufos that he sold and use that to exempt the shchufos, and the levonos will cover the levonos, but not by virtue of them being two different minim. Not so whatsoever. So we don't see over from this source that we don't see the Reishis Hagez being viewed as the same way we view Truma. In what you have is, in fact, two minim, the Shufos and Levonos, and yet you are able to you are able to mafresh from one on the other, but instead of using the better quality to cover the lesser quality, we advise him to buy back some of the lesser quality and use that to cover the lesser quality that he happened to have sold. But once again, we have to emphasize, we see from this discussion that the Reishis Hagez is not treated like Truma. That represents a problem. The Gemara answers, there's no problem because Ha Ukimna, but we've already established Lemas Nisin Delo Krabeloi. The question was brought from a Tanaic source. The Tanaic source just so happened to be our Mishnah, but we already pointed out that our Mishnah is not like Rebeloi. There was a section of Gemara that we skipped that we must go back for the sake of completion, they bracket the section contained in the brackets. However, for our purposes, what we're going to do is we'll learn the bracketed section, then skip down to this next diamond to pick up the continuation. In the brackets, the Gemara mentions that by Truma, whereas we had mentioned just before the brackets, that by Truma we don't tithe from one variety to cover another variety. Well, where do you know that from? V'gabi Truma Minolon, the Gemara third line from the top. Regarding Truma, where do you know this from? Desanya. Hoyulo Shnei Mine Teinim Shcharos Levanos. He had two different kinds of figs, dark ones and light ones. V'chein Shnei Mine Chitim. Likewise, with regard to different kinds of wheat. Ein Tormin Umasrin Mizal Zeh. You don't take the an extra portion of, let's say, of one kind to cover the other as well. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Mishum Rebbe Lozar, Beishama Omerim Eintor, Beisil Omerim Tormin. There is another opinion in this source that if Rabbi Yitzchak presents the issue as a machlokis between Beishama and Beis Hillel. However, for our purposes, we want to focus on the Tanakama, who said that you don't mafresh, ain't tormin masrin, you don't tithe the truma tithe or the meiser tithe from one to cover the other. So, af reishis hagez, mimin al sheino mino lo, are you going to say that by reishis hagez also you don't use one to cover the other? And as we learned the Gemara before, the Gemara thought initially, that's right, there is a parallel. However, when looking at the Tanaic source, namely our Mishnah, that seemed to indicate there's a parallel, the Seifa showed that that whole analysis is not the case. Because from the Seifa we saw the same structure regarding Zechorim and Nekevis, and it said Zed L'Atzmo, Zed L'Atzmo, and we know that Zechorim and Nekevis, male and female, don't represent two different minim. Rather, to explain the Seifa, we said that it was simply an Eitza Tova. So too, in the Reisha, where you do have two different minim, nevertheless, you would have been able to use one to cover the other. And all that was reflected in the Reisha, in the case of the Shchufos and Levanos, was simply an Eitza Tova, that he shouldn't use one to cover the other because he's losing out that way. But in theory, one would have covered the other, unlike Truma. So then if that's the case, so we see that we don't parallel shearings to Truma, and that would have represented a difficulty for the deos that we saw in the houses on Omid Aleph. But the Gemara, in defense of those deos, answered, well, our Mishnah doesn't represent a problem, because our Mishnah was already established to be unlike Rebbe Loi. And you see a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align that with the top line where there is also an arrow. And it's at that point that we mention that the Mishnah is not like Rebbe Loi. The Gemara continues. E ma truma bo'inon reishis sheshior nikorin af reishis agez sheshior nikorin. This concept of Shir Nikorim is a reference to, let us say, someone who sold all of his grains. Or let us say this more accurately. Let us say a person declared all of his grains as truma. If he declared all his grains as truma, then basically there's nothing left afterwards, because everything was declared as truma. We say, since there's nothing left, there's no shirayim, that declaration doesn't get started. It doesn't take hold. If you want to dedicate 50% of your grains as truma, since the Torah doesn't give an actual quantity with regard to truma, that would have taken hold, because the 50% that remains as shirayim. So, with regard to Truma, we say that you have this requirement of not declaring everything as Truma. Is that the same with regard to the Reishis Hagez, that one shouldn't declare all of the shearings as a gift to the Kohanim? So the Gemara says, in V'hotnan, yes, that is true, there is a parallel, and it is supported by the following Tanaic source. And we should take note that we have a long answer upon us, that's indicated by the tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the north of the vertical descending dashed line. The Gemara goes on and says, Ha'imer kol groni truma, my entire granary I'm declaring is truma, called isosi chala, and all of the dough as a chala tithe, lo omar klum. Then nothing, it doesn't take place, doesn't take hold, because there you need to have, by truma and chala, you need to have a remainder that is not truma and not chala. But we can infer, ha kol gizai, rachis, if a person declared all of his shearings as rachis, the shearing tithe, dvorav kayomen, the inference would have said that what he says does take hold. Vitanya idach, and yet there's another source that says lo omar klum, that it by giza it doesn't take hold. So you see here a seeming contradiction between the first source's inference and the second source. Elo lav shma mina. So the resolution of this seeming contradiction is very simple. Ha rebeloi. The ha rabbonon shma mina. Rebeloi will be the one that says lo amar klum, because giza is like truma, and the source that says dvarav kayomin would the inference that we made would be like the rabbonon that disagree with rebeloi. So just to review in a brief fashion what we have done is we introduced on Omid Aleph Deos in house forms, which indicated that unlike Rava, Reishis Hagez, which Rava said regarding Reishis Hagez, that only by Reishis Hagez would the Shutvis be a reason for exemption. But in many other halachas, Rabbi Eloi would agree that a partnership is not reason for exemption. And these other deos, namely the shitas that we had marked off with the houses, specifically Rav Beivai Bar Abaye and Rav Hanina Misura, we saw that Rav Eloi, who says there is Rav Eloi says there is a partnership exemption, or namely when something is owned in a partnership there is exemption from other halachas as well, and we mentioned Bechora, Matanas, and in the course of that discussion it came out that it must be that Rav Eloi also says Truma is when owned by a partnership, a field owned in a partnership, will also be exempt from the Truma tithe, according, of course, to Rav Eloi. And as a result of that, it was felt that there should be a very solid comparison made between Reishis Hagez and Truma. So that gave rise to a long series of questions. Is that really so, that we compare Matanas and, most for the most part of our discussion, the Reishis Hagez with Truma? And each question was dealt with, and we've come to the end of that series right now. We turn to the Gemara in continuing. Omar of Nachmon bar Yitzchok, Ho'idno nohug almo kahani tlas savi. Nowadays, the world, the Jewish community, the Jewish world, practices like the following three sages in their respective halachic rulings. We've numbered them off. If we just read the numbers and the phrase next to each number, we'll get a flavor of what is about to be stated. The first halach is like we follow Rav Eloi with regard to Reishis Hagez. We'll follow Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra with regard to Divrei Torah. And we'll follow Rabbi Yoshio with regard to Kilayim. These, of course, will be explained as we go on in the Gemara. So let's go over this again. Rav Nachman tells us we follow the ruling of the following three sages. Number one, Rabbi Eloi Bereishis Hagez. We follow Rabbi Eloi's approach with regard to the shearings and matonis. Disanyer Beloy Omer Reish Zagez Eino Noeg Ela Baretz. He restricted the obligation of Reish Zagez and Matonis to the land of Israel. In other words, outside of Eretz Yisrael, according to Rabbi Loi, the mitzvah of the first shearings is not binding. And Rav Nach Meitzuk says we will rule like him. Uch Rabbi Yuda ben Beseira v'Divrei Torah, and we'll follow Rabbi Yuda ben Beseira's approach with regard to Torah learning, with regard to the following: Desanya Rabbi Yuda ben Beseira Omer, Ein Divrei Torah Mekablim Tuma. This regards something called Tvilas Ezra, where a male had a male emission. There is an opinion that says he must immerse himself in a mikveh in order to learn Torah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that the Torah learning is not sensitive to tuma absorption, and hence, even if someone is tomei, he can learn even without that mikveh immersion. Uchra Yoshio b'kilayim, and regarding mixed breeding of plants, we will follow Rabbi Yoshio. Desanya, Rabbi Yoshio merely oilam ein chayov. There is no violation of kilayim at shiizra chita usor v'chartzon b'mapoles yad. There isn't a kilei hakerem violation unless you plant three varieties in one hole. In other words, three seeds, specifically wheat, barley, and the grape seed in mapoles yad, in one hole, as you put it, you put the seeds by hand into the ground, you put it into one hole. Only then is there a Torah Kilei Hakerem violation. So it would come out, according to Rabbi Yoshia, and Rav Nachman says we follow him, that you will not be in violation if you don't have the three varieties together. Before continuing in the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin for a topic heading, the Nosei, Reishis Hagez Eino Noheg Betrefos. The issue we will deal with is, does the halacha of shearings, the shearing tithe, apply to an animal that's a trefa? So our Gemara says, Felisni, why doesn't the Mishnah, when it mentions, in fact, stringencies you find by Zroa Chaimakeva over the halacha of Reishis Hagez, why not teach the following, Chomer b'Reishis Hagez Shenoig b'Trefos Mashen Kei b'Matonos, that we find a stringency by the halacha of the shearings over the Matonos, in that Reishis Hagez applies to an animal that's a trefa. Well, why doesn't that appear? Amar Ravina, Homani, Rabbi Shimon, because our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shimon, Desanya Rabbi Shimon, Poter, Es Hatrefos, Mereshis, Hagez. Rabbi Shimon exempts an animal that's a trefa from Reishis Hagez, so that we couldn't list this as a stringency of Reishis Hagez over Matonis. My time, other Rabbi Shimon, what's the basis of this exemption? So you'll notice that we have a triangle here. These represent the attempts to figure out what is the basis of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara answers, Yalif Nesina Nesina Mimatonis. He learns a word comparison, Exera Shava, using the word Nosan, that you find in the case of shearings, and the case of the Matonis. Ma matonis trefolo, just like in the case of matonis, you don't give the matonis the Zerah Chaim Vekeva from a trefa. Af reishis hagez, nami trefolo. So too, with regard to the halach of the shearings, trefa is exempted. The Gemara asks a kasha. It lasts a few lines. You can see we have a long question marking to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. The iyolif nesina nesina mimatonis. If he learns this word comparison from Matonis to the shearings, then Leilif Nesina Nesina Mitruma, then learn this word comparison from Truma, Ma Truma Ba'aretzin, Bechutza La'aretz Lo, just like by Truma it's restricted to the land of Israel and not outside of it, Af reishis hagez nami boretz in b'chutzolar tzlo. Then you would come to the conclusion that reishis hagez is limited to the land of Israel and not outside. Alama tnan. So why do we see it taught that reishis hagez noeg boretz u'b'chutzolar tz? It says that reishis hagez is binding outside of the land of Israel also. So if the basis of exemption of trefa from Reishis Hagez is a result of a nesina nesina gzera shava, then we would have done a nesina nesina gzera shava as well with regard to the issue, with regard to truma, and conclude that it's Reishis Hagez is limited to Eretz Yisrael like truma, and yet we find the Mishnah says not so. Elo hainu taimod Reb Shimon. Our Mishnah that we said is according to Reb Shimon. What is the basis of his exemption of trefa? Answer: Diyolif tzoin tzoin mi meiser. He has a word comparison, but not nesina, but rather the word tzon that you find by meisrus, by meiser behema, ma meiser trefa lo. Just like by meiser behema, the halach of tithing 1/10 of the births of a given year of animals. And in that parsha, we trefa is excluded. Af reishis hagez trefa lo. So too, with regard to the reishis hagez, trefas are excluded. V'hasam min olon. And in the case of meiser behema, how do you know that trefas are excluded? Dechtiv kol asher yavor tachas hashevet. The pasuk refers to all animals that pass under the rod. We'll call it the counting rod. That is a part of the tithing process. So we learn from that that the animal has to have the ability of walking, passing under the rod. Prat l'trefa she'en overes, a trefa, and there's an example of a trefa. If it's missing a, if it's missing a hind leg, a complete missing of the leg, it's called a trefa, and it's incapable of walking, she'ena overis. So we see that the exemption of trefa by Reishis Hagez is learned from a tzon gzera shava with meiser behema. Question: V'leilev tzon tzon mi b'chor. Why not learn a tzon word comparison between shearings and the din of b'chor? And the conclusion will then be the opposite, namely, ma b'chor afilu trefa. A b'chor is a firstborn male animal. If it's born, it's the first one out of the womb of its mother. It makes it into a b'chor. Even if it happens to be a trefa, it still will be classified as a b'chor. So too, af reish sagez afilu trefa. So if you're into this word comparison of tzon tzon, so then you, why not conclude that trefa is obligated in shearings? So why is it that you favor the exemption approach, namely comparing making the gzera shava with meiser behema and avoiding the tzon gzera shava with bechor? The Gemara answers, Mistabra mi meiser have lei lemelef. It's more likely that we'll learn the ptur trefa of gez, of the gziz of the reishis hagez from meiser shekain. Now you'll notice in our Mark Gemaras we've numbered off up till number 7 words and expressions that appear right now. They represent 7 points that meiser and gizah have in common with one another. The explanation of each one of these points is found in Rashi. But for the meantime, let's go through just the, we'll call it the superficial approach, listing off the points that are in common between meiser, behema, and Giza. And as a result of this, it's more likely that we should compare, make the tzon tzon gzera shava between Giza and Meiser, as opposed to Bechor, which does not have these points in common. What are they? It says Zechorim, Temein, Vimerubin, Meirechem, Adam, Poshut, Lifnei Hadibur. 7 points. We didn't explain any of them, but we're mentioning there are 7 points in common. Adarabah. Well, to the contrary, Mibuchor Havei Lei Lemelaf. You should have learned the din of Reishis Hagez from Bechor, being Mechayev a Trefa, Shekain, and now once again, the Gemara presents a list of points that we can say are in common between Bechor and Reishis Hagez, as opposed to Maisris. And you'll notice that in this numbering, which continues to the top line of Kuf, Lamed, Zayin, Omen, Aleph, we'll get up to number 8. They are as follows: Shekain Yosom, Shelokhu, Beshutfis, Nosnu, Bifnei, Kohen, Bekdusha, Umechira. Vahanoch Nefishin. And furthermore, these are more. You've got 8 points in common between Gez and Bechor, which is more than that which you found in common between the Meiser Behema and the Reishis Hagez. So this would seem to favor a tzon zera shava with Bechor, resulting in an obligation of trefa with regard to Reishis Hagez. Why is it then that we are insisting that trefa, why does Rav Shimon therefore say that a trefa is potter from Reishis Hagez? The Gemara answers, poshut mi poshut odif lei. It's more appropriate to compare animals that are both poshut. Poshut means regular, as opposed to bechor. Bechor being such a unique category, it's felt that we're not going to compare the din of Reishis Hagez, which is something that doesn't apply to a bechor. So we're not going to compare Reishis Hagez to the category of bechor because of its unique bechor status, and rather compare poshut things, Meiser Behema, with obviously firstborn animal doesn't participate in Meiser. It's given automatically to the Kohen. The Meiser Behema is something that is eaten by the owner after he brings it as a korban. So it's a poshut, and Reishis Hagez applies to a poshut as well. As far as the details in the list of items that we went through that one has in common with the other, in the context of our shir, our Gemara markings shir, we are not going to spend the time in explaining each one of those points, but we will tell you that each point is clearly explained in the Rashi. So for the sake of clarity in the sugya, we recommend your learning the Rashi, while at the same time not overextending the length of our shir to explain each point. And with that, we conclude our shiur for today.